Hello, everyone. Today's devotional comes from John chapter 12. It's going to be a longer chapter, so if you have your Bible open with you, you could read along with me. John chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "The voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, for again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, Many, even of the authorities, believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Amen. Yesterday, our brother Jeremy Young gave a great devotional on John chapter 11. This was on the good character and power of God by which Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And now, having read about these great signs that Jesus performed, we get to see in today's chapter of how different people reacted in different ways to Jesus, who is doing the will of the Father by healing and loving people and proclaiming the truth. I first want to focus on the response of some people we see in verses 37 to 43. These included some of the Pharisees and also possibly other people who were around. But after Jesus explains to them the death he is about to die, through which he will be glorified, these people simply didn't believe in him. It says that Isaiah prophesied about this, that people's hearts would be hardened. It even says that God would have healed them had they turned to him, but they didn't. And even some of the Pharisees who did believe what Jesus said, it says that they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. So ultimately, they chose themselves, their own reputation, and their own understanding over Jesus. Now, let's look at how Mary responded to Jesus in the first few verses. It says in verse 3 that Mary took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Mary had nowhere near the level of education of the Pharisees, but unlike the Pharisees, she knew exactly who Jesus was. If we keep reading, we find out that this ointment is worth 300 denarii, which is worth around 1 year's wages. Just think about that for a second. Think about how much you make in 1 year, or for those of you who aren't working, how much money it takes for you to survive 1 year. Mary just spent all of that in one moment cleaning someone's feet. I think when we read passages like this, some of us might naturally think, of course, Mary did the right thing. How dare Judas question her decision of using the ointment on Jesus? And of course, you'd be right to think that. But honestly, I think I definitely would have reacted like Judas if I were there in that moment. An entire year's worth of money spent on cleaning someone's feet? That's actually crazy. But what Mary was rightly expressing here in her act of devotion to Jesus is that Jesus is worth it. Even 1 year's wages, 10 years' wages, 100 years, all the riches the world can produce, Jesus is worth it and more. So a question I want to end today's devotional with is this. Do we live like Jesus is worth everything? Or do we often have hardened hearts towards him like the Pharisees had? Sometimes, a lot of the time actually, loving Jesus like he is worth everything doesn't make sense through the eyes of the world. The world will tell you your efforts are much better and efficiently spent elsewhere. But I want to encourage us today to fight this lie with the truth. Jesus is worth everything. Maybe some things might come to mind that bring to light how much we actually don't hold Jesus to this level of worth. So let's ask God today, God, help me to understand and live out the fact that you are worth everything. Every decision I make, every sacrifice, my whole life, you are worth all of it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for showing us today your true worth through Mary's devotion to Jesus. Lord, we want to be like this, to not even second guess, pouring out our time and our resources, our efforts, our life at your feet. Forgive us for how often we forget your worth and end up thinking like Judas or the Pharisees did. Help us, Lord, to be wholly devoted to you, to know your worth and to live a life displaying that you are worth everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.